This is so much fun. I'm sitting here waiting for Val. Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 30 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I'm Amber.
I'm Valerie. We're almost middle-aged.
The podcast is now older than me.
And me! Yes! We have something older than us! Woohoo!
Well, I know a lot of people older than me.
Well, usually in the cosplay community, so many of them are like in the teenagers or very, very, very early 20s. We're like the
We
old farts.
are elders of cosplay. That's probably the nicest way I could put that.
She's so PC.
I've always had a way with words, you know.
You are very eloquent, but you also studied to be a teacher, so.
Yeah, well,
Whereas
that's.
my teaching skills is more involved in film, where we swear and we really don't care what we say, so.
Yes, well, I can't really say anything to that because it's true, so.
Yeah, it is true. I don't deny it because I understand completely. I let everybody watch South Park and write papers on it. I mean, come on. I am like the worst teacher possible, and it's fun.
See, I kind of got this idea in my head. It's like, okay, I need to start a cosplay group called the Elders of Cosplay, and
I
it's going to be
love
made
it.
up. It's going to be made up of cosplayers who are all over the age of 25. Yes, listeners, we are both over the age of 25, therefore we are cosplay elders. Although I do know people who are in their later years who do cosplay still.
I do too. There's not as
So.
many of them, but I've found that as we are starting to get older, more of them are still sticking with it, so it's kind of nice. I don't feel so alone. Great. Especially since I started late. I started when I was 25, so I'm like, I started out as an old fart. Totally backwards.
See, when did I? I've been cosplaying for a lot longer than I've been going to anime conventions. But that's simply because I started out cosplaying at Renaissance festivals.
Yeah.
So I've been cosplaying at least since I was 18. At least, if not before that.
That's why you kick my butt. I can't compete with that.
Well, I have been a Rennie for many, many years,
And a
so
fire spinner. You
that kind of comes with the territory of being a Rennie.
gotta do that one day. That's gonna be fun. We'll just burn down the Alcon Hotel. They'll be okay with
Yeah, I believe that is what I said in the pre-show, is that the hotel would not appreciate me lighting their trees on fire.
be okay.
No, it won't.
You're such a pyro anyway. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I think I talked about soldering in the pre-show too.
My goodness.
All power tools are heat driven. Everything is heat driven.
Amber and fire.
I'm just gonna start roasting things on my motorcycle pipes.
There you go.
They get hot enough to boil water. Why not?
Oh my goodness.
And yes, Danny, we know. We know that we are not that old, but at the same time,
Time.
we are old enough, and we know that some of us have mature body types, and it makes cosplaying different. Unique.
Oh, you're such a wordsmith.
I try. All right. Come on, wakey wakey. Wow, this is going really slowly. My computer, that is.
Say, yeah.
All right. So why don't we move into our first segment, which is going to be purchasing costumes online. Because tis the season. For those who don't know, we are already well into convention season, if there is such a thing as convention season.
Oh, dude, Katsucon already has photos out like Thursday evening as it was rolling. It was just like, psh, go.
I hearted that
I heard
entry
it
in
too.
Facebook because the photo that's up there is from Saint Seiya. It's
I
from
knew
an
you'd
art
appreciate
book,
it. It
and
was
it
the
was
first one I
Hera.
saw. I was like, aw, Amber would totally love this. And it's so cool looking. Photo of
Yes,
the day.
That is a god cloth. I did a god cloth 2 years ago, embarrassingly. And I have already told that story. So, yes, I hearted much that picture.
Good. But yes, since it is convention season, we know that part of the process is people are going to start buying their own costumes now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they can buy their own costumes. For those who are first-time cosplayers who may not wish to make their own costumes just yet, buying them is certainly an option. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with buying your costume. I mean, yes, there are people who look down upon it because you didn't make it yourself. No, you can't compete in it because you didn't make it yourself. It may not last as long because you didn't make it yourself. But at the same time, basically, you're trading off effort for money. I mean, if you don't have the time, you don't have the time. Go ahead and buy a costume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these costumes now that they are making are actually pretty decent quality.
Yeah, a lot of them have been. They've been upping up the quality lately, which is kind of nice to see.
Mm-hmm. It depends on where you buy them from.
That's the key thing, on the nose.
Well, yes, and of course we will get into that. And I don't know that Saint Seiya cosplayer, but I'm definitely going to look them up now because I heart very much Saint Seiya cosplayers. For those listeners who don't realize, we actually do have a live chat room going as we're recording this, and we are actually monitoring what is being said in the room in real time. So if you see us respond to something random that you don't have context for, it's probably because it came up in the chat room. So just
that's
saying.
Why. And so, thank you, Mary. I didn't realize that the World Cosplay stuff had already been done. I thought that wasn't until later this evening. But apparently they already have the winners up. Damn. That's fast.
Which we can definitely address World Cosplay Summit in the podcast if we would like to do so.
Yeah, let's move that to a convention review. Done.
Yeah.
part
of the reason that we're doing this topic now is because we were approached by a costume shop who wanted to become an affiliate of the show. And while I won't get into the whole negotiation process of that, we did basically want to bring up, since it was, you know, discussed with us, what it takes to have an online cosplay shop and what to look for whenever you're buying your costumes. Because there are concerns that cosplayers should have when you're buying things online. Even if it's not a full costume, if you buy a wig, the concerns are the same.
Oh,
if you're
absolutely.
Buying a prop, the concerns are all the same, no matter what it is you're buying. In a general sort of sense, we're not talking like product-specific concerns. So we are going to use this particular website as an example so that you can understand what it is that we're talking about. So we will run through it using this website. So the company is called MIC Costumes. I'm sure they may just be MIC Costumes, but it's miccostumes.com is their website if you end up wanting to follow along with us in the podcast. So I have their website up, and one of the very first things that you should do when looking into this is find out where the company is based. And I'm not saying that to be anti-imports. I'm saying that primarily because shipping is going to be a massive concern, especially if you're on a deadline. If you buy a costume from overseas, from whatever country that you're in, it's going to take a lot longer to ship it to you than it is if you get it in the same country that you're located in or nearby. You know, whenever you have imports, it can take up to a month for that costume to reach you. So if you have a convention in 2 weeks and you need a costume, purchasing from a supplier overseas may not be the right thing for you. And that's the reason why I say look for where the company is based. I will say, truthfully, some overseas shops that sell cosplay have a reputation for being less than quality shops. The only way to really know that is twofold. One is to read user reviews. Talk to other people who have done business with them and see what they think. The other is to actually look at their shop and see what it is that they're offering. This runs into the second thing that you should look at after you find out where they're based. And that's when you look at the photos of these costumes, is the photo actually of a product they have actually physically made? Or is it a photo of something that they borrowed from another website or another artist who has made this exact same costume and they're using it as a representation?
That one is probably the trickiest one, because I've seen that happen on multiple occasions. And a lot of times you'll see, they'll even do this on a lot of Wix sites too, where they just copy and paste the same image over and over and over again, maybe find some way to put their logo in and remove the previous logo. So that one can be really tricky to follow up on, because sometimes you just don't know until you see it at your front door, and then you're like, this is totally not what I paid for. Yeah.
Photoshop can be a very powerful tool for some of these things. And sometimes it's impossible to tell whether or not this picture is theirs or if it's mm-hmm. from somebody else. And if you can't tell, you know, then you can't tell. It's not a requirement. It's just one of those things that you should definitely look for whenever you look at these things. So I'm going to, you know, look at one of the more popular categories, which is, say, Final Fantasy. And I'm seeing that there are words misspelled on this website. That in itself can be a trigger for a company that may or may not be legitimate. And I'm not necessarily saying that about this company in particular. I'm saying that in general, just like when you get spam emails in your box that are misspelled, that is an automatic red flag for you to know that this may or may not even be legitimate. And it's something that you should keep your eye on whenever you're looking at these things. It doesn't necessarily disqualify them out of hand. It just brings up a flag. So it's, you know, as always, these are just things to think about. So I am going to look at a Final Fantasy Lightning costume. That seems pretty popular right now.
That's the first one on there.
Actually,
I saw the one that was four things over for Edgar from Final Fantasy VI, and I immediately shook my head, and I was like, no, that's bad.
Okay. So as you look at a specific costume or accessory or wig or prop, you can see the price, but the price is just a small part of what you should look for. Whenever you're looking at a particular costume, a couple of things that you want to specifically look for. What is it made of? The cheaper the price, chances are the cheaper the material that they used and the more likely your costume is going to break. At the worst possible time, of course. That's just how costumes work. Yes, that's how costumes work. The second thing that you want to look for is what is included in the costume. Just because the character carries a sword does not mean the sword comes with the costume. Just because the character has gems decorating their sleeves and, you know, necklace, that doesn't mean that they used actual gems. They may have representations there instead. It may not come with accessories like gauntlets, boots, belts, capes, wigs. So if you're putting together a full costume, you'll want to know exactly what it comes with and what it doesn't. Mm-hmm. The third thing to look for, and this is actually probably the most important thing, particularly if the supplier is overseas, that's size. Not everybody sizes their costumes in the same way as suppliers do in your home country. There's a big difference between inches and centimeters and or meters for those who are using imperial and metric. And there is a vast difference between UK and European sizing, US sizing, and Eastern or Asian sizing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's not to be sizist or, you know, imperialist. I'm not trying to criticize them for that. I'm just saying that if you're going to order a costume to fit you, you need to make sure it actually fits you. And suppliers will generally tell you if you ask them, and they'll say, well, if you are this size in your country, it's equivalent to this size in my specifications. They'll give you a conversion chart. It's like whenever I bought a costume at Akon 3 years ago, it was from a supplier who brought silks from Thailand. And he told me up front, he said, you need to order something that is two sizes larger than what you normally wear because the sizing on these is different. the people who are normally making these are smaller than you, and so you need to get, you know, two sizes larger. And I'm really glad that he told me that because it fit me properly. So sizing is probably the most important thing that you can look for on a costuming site if you're going to buy a costume. Also pay attention if the size is child's, men's, or women's.
That helps too.
But based on whichever one that you are, so that you don't order the wrong gender and or the wrong size. I have done that buying a pattern once. I bought the kid's pattern because I did not pay attention to the fact that it said child's.
Whoops.
So, yes, do pay attention because a lot of these websites do not allow returns. Sales are final on most of these sites, and if they are not final, they will specify that you must pay to ship that costume back to them, and yep. That can get expensive, even if you ship it the cheapest way possible. So that's, you know, you only get one shot at this. Plus, the prices on some of these costumes are such, you know, $100, $200 that you really don't want to have to go through this again and then have to try and get a refund back.
Right.
So, you know, do look at their return policies. If you think that there might be a reason that you need to return this for any reason outside of workmanship errors, and some of the companies don't even allow you to return for that. If they have washing instructions for whatever it is that they used, do pay attention to them, because if you end up dyeing your costume in the washing machine, that is generally not a reason they allow for returns. So if it says wash in cold water and line dry, you had better wash it in cold water and line dry it. Don't just toss it in your washing machine because it didn't say you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something to think about. Once you have checked out all of those things, you're okay with the material that they're using, you've seen the shipping policies, you're willing to pay the price, you've got the right sizes. As far as payment goes, this goes for any website. You want to make sure that their shopping service, that their business end is secure online. Usually this is shown by either a padlock symbol on your browser or with HTTPS for secure HTTP. So that you know that when you're giving them, say, your credit card information, that somebody else along the way is not going to be able to read that credit card information and steal it. That goes for any place that you buy products or services from. You want it to be secure. You don't want it to be just an average website. That's for your own protection. When you put things into your shopping cart for places that use shopping carts, make sure that the shopping cart actually says what you put in it. Because if for some reason you accidentally hit the button twice because it doesn't look like it went through the first time, you're suddenly going to have two costumes in your shopping cart and it's going to charge you for that. So pay attention to what's in your shopping cart, particularly before you put in the payment information. You really don't want to make a mistake there. It's even better if the business you're doing business with, if they are in the United States, if they are Better Business Bureau qualified, and they will have their logo on their website generally, or you can go to BBB.org to look them up to see if they are actually certified as a BBB business. Those tend to be a little bit more reliable to do business with because they've been rated. Some of these others will be PayPal certified, or they will be, you know, VeriSign verified. They'll be McAfee certified. Basically, those other certifications just means that the website has been certified to be virus-free or malware-free or exploit-free. And that the website is who they say they are. It's not a spoof website. That's really all that those certifications mean. What you can do on some of these sites is poke around to see if they have coupons or special deals, because you never know what you may get. Like, for example, on, you know, MIC Costumes, MIC Costumes, on some of the costumes, they have a like button. And if you hit like, they will give you 5% off your order. Free coupon saving money right there. But you only know if you actually look for it and, you know, do what it is they say that you have to do. A lot of these places are now on Facebook. And if you go on their Facebook site, they'll give you a special deal, you know, just for visiting their site and hitting like. Yes, technically you can hit unlike after you've done the deal. That's not what you're supposed to be doing to get these deals, but just saying.
Everybody does it.
Everybody does it. Some places will offer something similar to loyalty points, similar to membership cards at some stores where you will build up rewards points for shopping with them, and then you can cash in the rewards points for something else. Usually a discount offer, coupon offer, free products, and the like. So do watch out for that as well. If it is a place that you end up shopping with multiple times, like for example, we shop at Epic Cosplay, and they do rewards points. So if you shop at a place often enough, it may be worth joining their rewards program. Because then you get free stuff.
And we like free stuff.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything else that you should realistically look for when you're purchasing costumes online?
I know one thing that Danny brought up, and this was in the back of my head too, is that the ones that we're mostly focusing on here are ones that are strictly like costume shops. So these aren't like commissioners. But some of these shops will actually give you the option of putting in your personal measurements so you can actually get something that's custom tailored and custom fit for you. So just keep in mind what your measurements are. Don't be afraid to ask for help on that, and make sure you get it converted to their system properly. That's the tricky one.
Sometimes it can be helpful to add just a little bit to your own measurements, say if you are worried about gaining weight. If you are ordering pretty far in advance of a convention and they don't necessarily include what they call ease of comfort or ease of wear, then you may end up wanting to add, say, a half inch or a full inch to the measurements that you give them, just in case. Yes, it's going to make the fit more baggy, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will make it to your specifications. So, when you receive your package from them, promptly open it. Don't wait until the convention if you order it early. Once you get your package from them, open it because you want to check and make sure that it is exactly what you ordered and that it has all the parts that it says it was supposed to have. Because a lot of places will have a deadline. They'll have a very short deadline for basically resolving that, where you have to contact the business and say, hey, this isn't what I ordered, or hey, we're missing A, B, and C. Can you send these, or can you give me a refund? Most businesses I've seen in general, not just cosplay businesses, but most businesses in general, you only have 7 days to contact them if there's a problem with your order. So if you end up buying for a convention a month in advance, and you wait a month, and then all of a sudden you open the package at the con, and it's not the costume you ordered, you're SOL. So you definitely want to open it as soon as you get it, if nothing else, to make sure that everything's in there that you bought and that it is exactly what you told them that you wanted. Sometimes these places will have user reviews in general for their experience, not necessarily for a specific costume, but just a general how did we do sort of thing. And that can be one of the best indicators of whether or not a business is actually trustworthy to do business with. If you see a whole bunch of people saying, well, it took them forever to ship my order, and I could never get in contact with any of their customer representatives to find out what was going on, or, you know, their sizing is consistently off, then you may not consider doing business with them. I mean, nothing says that you're obligated to do business with any outfit that you find online. You don't have to do business with anybody. But if you're going to, you may as well make sure you're going to get your money's worth, and then it's not going to be one of those experiences that you blog about on the internet that you completely hated because you're trying to make sure nobody else does either. I mean, yes, you'll be helping those other people, but at the same time, you really don't want to be in that position to begin with.
Right. And it's one of those where it don't just look at the reviews that are on that website, because there are websites where they can tailor their system so that way they only show the positive reviews. You don't see all the negative stuff. Take your time to research and go Google. Seriously, Google is your friend. Google is a happy tool. Use the Google. Explore the Google. It is an awesome thing. But you'll see this a lot on cosplay.com as well, even just moving through Facebook. I mean, if you ask and say, hey, have you guys had an experience with this company? How are they like? And people will be more than happy to give you an honest response. So don't be afraid to go outside of the website to look for reviews.
In fact, you probably want to go outside of the website for the reviews, because even if websites don't necessarily tailor it themselves to where only positive reviews show up, it may end up being that way, so that all the reviews that show are, you know, a lot of websites, it's considered bad business to have critique.
Yes.
On your own website. So obviously they're not going to put that up on their own website. So I would say 9 times out of 10, you probably want to, I mean, yes, you can read the reviews that are on their website, but take it with a handful of salt and go elsewhere. In fact, a lot of cosplay forums and websites, the aggregate sites, will have places where people talk about where they bought costumes and how their experience was. I would recommend going there, because they're more likely than not to be honest.
Yes, the good and the bad.
Yes. And for some companies, there may be more bad than good, and then you'll have to decide, you know, on your own, is this someplace that I want to do business with? Because just because there are a handful of bad reviews doesn't mean it's a bad company. It means those people had bad experiences, and you kind of have to decide on your own, do I want to take that risk?
Yeah, and I mean, not everyone that like has a shop that's in China or Japan is a bad company to work for. Some of them are actually good. Some of them are very legit. Some of them do the job that they're supposed to do. It's just one of those things where you really have to take the time and research and think about your purchases and be prepared, because if something goes wrong, just be ready to come back in and swoop in and know how to fix it. So,
and see if the company addresses those reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies will respond when they get a bad review, and they'll try and make it right. And those are the best companies to do business with, because it means they care. And it means they care enough to not erase that bad response. They'll leave it there and they'll respond to it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you may not like the response, but at least they take the time to do it. So
in this case,
you know, this particular business does have both good and bad reviews. The majority of them seem to be good. But there are some people who have had poor experiences, so it would be up to the consumer to read these reviews and decide, you know, based on these reviews and based on what I've seen on their website, do I want to buy the costume from them? And always feel free to compare to other websites that are selling the exact same costume. Because you may find the exact same costume is made of 5 different materials across 5 different websites in 5 different countries that have 5 different shipping rates. You know, like anything else that you buy online, price shop, price match, comparison, and review tools are your friend. So, you know, that's kind of all I have to say about that.
That's all I've got. I've never been a purchaser of costumes. I've always made every single one of mine, even the really, really crappy ones. The only time I really go online is if it's not to find fabric, it's to buy a wig, and I got my wig shop. So, but I mean, in general, the rules pretty much apply across the board. It's just being smart, taking your time, reviewing, and doing what you need to do.
Yep. All right, so now that we've talked about buying them online, why don't we talk about making them ourselves?
Sweet. We've been doing that all day, man. Segway! We're such dorks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more fun that way.
The title of this episode is going to be Cospod Dorks.
Okay. Amber's the one that makes up all the titles. She's a very punny lady, so I let her have it.
I try and make up the most terrible pun I can think of at the time.
And it worked.
So anyways, why don't you go first, since I've been rambling for a long time.
Poor Amber. She's probably tired of talking to people.
Well, no, I'm starting to lose my voice, so.
No! Well, I know that we've both been busy this weekend, especially today. We both have been in, like, super cosplay mode. I know you see that thing in the corner that I'm trying to point to. There we go. I'm half-ass pointing it. The Wig of Doom, which I've never made anything so preposterous before. And that's what I'm learning for a new costume, is how to make wigs like that. I'm not doing it again for a long time. Sucks. Let's see. I've been making sashes out of scrap fabric that I have available. I've been remaking a head thing for myself, which I posted on Facebook. This is the back of my head, and I've just plastered it. And I'm going to have a tutorial on how to do it.
May I recommend that you not use the term plastered?
Well, it is technically plastering it.
Plastering it is fine. Plastered has another meaning.
Well, you know.
Unless, of course, you're consuming shots while you are working on cosplay.
No, unless does the vitamin water count?
Only if it has, like, vodka.
And coffee? I mean, that's all I really had today is coffee and the vitamin water.
Just saying.
I know, but, you know. But, yeah, I'm going to have a tutorial on how to do this. So now when I make my next bald cap, or actually making this ginormous piece of latex I'm going to stick on the back of this, you guys will know how to do this now, because it's really easy, and it's the cheap man way. Gotta love it. As Amber laughs at me.
The so, yeah, cheap. We're all about the cheap man.
I think I spent $10 making this, whereas if the professional tools are in the range of like 40 to 60-ish. This is the solo person, very, very cheap man way of doing it. If I actually wanted like a life cast of myself, then I would actually invest the money into it. But I just needed the back of my head and the side. So this works. But yeah, it has just been crazy busy sewing because we have AllCon in less than a month and we got to get our asses rolling.
Well, you have to get your ass rolling. I'm not cosplaying at AllCon except for Arwen.
I know, poor Amber. I feel bad. I wanted to see Thief.
I'm sorry. I told them in the pre-show, if I don't have the time to do it to my satisfaction, I'm not going to do it, because I'm not going to have a slapdash costume at a convention.
It makes sense.
And I can't really renege on the fact that if I don't practice, they'll kick me out of the symphony. So since I'm losing that entire week, and I have... and I still have homework, and I have my skills test coming up, which is half my final exam, that's just more of a priority and automatically basically just kicks cosplay to the bottom of my priority table.
Right, right. I mean, it is what it is. Life kind of comes first, unfortunately. But
yeah, I mean, I am working on cosplay right now. I'm working on AllCon, but that's mostly because I don't have to worry about frantically finishing my AllCon stuff in 3 weeks. I can work on it and then just leave it for a few weeks if I have to. So
you got 3 months. You're good.
Not long enough. Definitely not long enough.
This is a person who can make stuff in like a week, and I'm totally cool. So
if I had solid time, I could sit down and make a costume in under a week, but I don't have that kind of dedicated time.
Yeah, because there's work, and then there's school, and then there's symphony. And then there's all the other stuff in between. Yeah.
Well,
being an adult sucks.
Those three are plenty to keep me busy.
Yeah.
So I'm... yeah. Well, once I get my certifications, it will be a little different, because then I won't be studying all the time.
Sure.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, the Power Rangers theme song. Do, do, do.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Oh, yeah, we're both old, sweetie.
I remember when Power Rangers first came out.
Hell yeah.
Back
and
when
we
they
had to make
only
the Asian girl in the yellow suit,
colors.
We had to have the black guy in the black suit, and the girl has to be in the pink suit. Yeah. Not racist at all. Oh, it's funny. The only other thing I have to add is I've adding to my injuries. I don't know if we can see this one. You might be able to. That one right there. That's kind of nasty, isn't it? And I got the other one on my arm. Yeah. It's the wire mesh stuff that Amber recommended to me. After you cut it, it starts pricking at my skin really badly. So I've had some of these for like the entire week. It sucks.
You're making it sound like it's all my fault.
It is all your fault. I wasn't going to use it until you mentioned it.
You didn't have to use it. It was
but look
a suggestion,
how awesome the wig
not a
is.
Requirement. Then why are you complaining?
I'm still going to blame you. Are you?
I think she took putting blood, sweat, and tears into your cosplay a little too literally.
For that thing, yeah. Dang. Mm-hmm.
See, I can't do that with my costume because it's all white. So there will be no blood, sweat, and tears going into that costume. Or anywhere near that costume.
When I had to finish up my Ventress costume, the way I was doing some of the stitching, I couldn't really do it with the machine. I had to do it by hand. And that's pretty much a white top with a little bit of gray. I stabbed myself with a needle and immediately started bleeding. I freaked out, ripped my hand out as fast as I possibly could, thinking, please don't bleed. Please don't bleed on it. Please don't bleed on it. Yeah. Just a little bit on the white. That would have so freaked me out.
Blood can be lucky, but generally you don't want to see blood stains on a white costume.
White costume.
Unless that is specifically what you are going for with that character.
No.
Like the zombies.
Nice and clean.
What is it? Left for Dead?
Yeah.
Is that the one where they have the white bandage costumes with all the blood?
You're thinking of Silent Hill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, those are okay to have blood all over. Real blood and fake blood. Kindly don't cut yourself for the sake of cosplay.
No.
but if that's not the look you're going for, then you probably do not want to have blood all over your costume, whatever color it is. So.
Unless you can hide it really, really well.
Even then, I would say no. I already had mentioned what I was working on in the pre-show, but I will mention it again here. But I have been working on Yue from Cardcaptor Sakura. And, of course, the entire thing is almost all white. White wings, white overcoat, white pants, white shirts.
White everything! Yeah.
Yes. And so I have a bunch of coarsely cut wing pieces all over my floor. I did the block cutting earlier. But I'm going to wait to do the fine cutting until I have more light because my romantic apartment has mood lighting that is greatly diffuse, so it is horrible for crafting. Great for Valentine's Day, and that's about it.
Boo, Valentine's Day.
Yes, well, I wasn't going to get into it. So I have... you're going to love me for this, Val, because
what?
I'm sure your sewing machine can relate. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Each side of the wings has 5 layers.
Sweet.
So I will have to sew through 10 layers for each for each half of the wings because the front has 5, the back has 5. The front here has 5, the back here has 5. So each side, each left and right wing will have 10 layers of broadcloth.
Sweet.
I have sewn 8 layers before because that was how I did it the first time I did the wing covers that I spray painted gold stupidly and then could not get the gold spray paint out, so I no longer had white covers I could ever use again. So now I'm redoing the same covers that I have done before using the exact same pattern that I recreated that I'm using as a mask. So I have to trace each layer, and then I'm going to cut them up and trace each feather on every single one of these layers. So it will have a layered 3D effect, and if I'm really ambitious, then I will airbrush them so that they look even more realistic. But, yes, there will be 10 layers of broadcloth that I'm going to have to attempt to get my sewing machine to go through. I may have to use a leather working needle to get it to actually work.
Yeah, you're going to have to upgrade the needle, unfortunately. That's going to be tricky.
Oh, I have leather working needles.
I'm sure you do.
I have many kind of needles in my cabinet. And if I have to, I will get a frigging awl. AWL, for those who don't know. It's a punch. And I will punch holes in it, and I will hand sew it if I have to.
She will make it happen.
Yes, because I know, I just know, that if I use heat and bond on these, they're going to fall apart at the...
No.
Thing. They're going to fall apart at the con. Plus, I'd have to use heat and bond on every single layer. And
Yeah.
And I've learned... from Seif thankfully, I planned it so that you couldn't see them. But whenever you use heat and bond, you can see the strip of heat and bond through the fabric.
That you can.
I mean, you don't see the white. You just see the texture of a strip beneath the fabric. So you can tell the heat and bond is there. And I do not want that for these wings. I really don't, because it would look really tacky.
Yeah.
To have a giant strip going all along the top. No, 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 no.
Yeah, my mom uses it to hem her pants, and I yell at her every single time. I'm like, just give me your pants. I will do them for you.
For hemming, it is okay, because the hem on pants is supposed to look like a strip.
No, this looks pretty nasty, though.
Oh, okay, that's different.
When you can clearly see it, when it really shouldn't be there, it looks nasty.
Because, see, if I cannot stitch through 10 layers of fabric, then I'm going to have to E6000 these buggers. And that's not going to be pleasant, because
nope.
E6000 was not meant for fabric, for
nope.
one. And for two, it's going to make the top crisp.
Yes.
It's the fabric will not flow correctly. So I would rather just stitch it if I can.
This is going to be
crossing my fingers.
Experiment.
Yes, well, I'm all for experimentation.
Especially with fire.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to turn on the light because it's... The sun is going down. Oh,
I know,
God.
We're getting mood lighting now. Yeah. Whereas I have my bright light of doom over here, which is supposed to be like a true light, so that way anything that I work on will be the natural color of the fabric. It's just really flippin' bright.
There. There's my little network.
And now she's back.
My network camera goes click. Hey, there's light. Yeah, so that has been the only thing. I already cut out the pieces for the pants and the overcoat. Well, the white portions. I haven't cut out the colored portions yet because I'm still figuring out shaping and the reverse engineering part of that. So I worked on the wings today. Those should be fairly quick. Then I just have to figure out how to make them look realistic. And I need more foam. You can never, ever have enough fun foam as a cosplayer. Craft foam. It's not called fun foam anymore. It's called craft foam.
Craft foam. It's still labeled as fun foam at Joanne, so meh.
It's also called EVA foam, technically. So it's the same stuff that's in the yoga mats. It's just not as thick. So I need some of that to make part of the wings stiff. So, yay, Joanne's trip.
Woohoo.
I love Joanne's. Coupons.
Coupons.
See, I always wait for the holiday weekends, like President's Day weekend and such, because that's when they like to run their big percentage off your total purchase sales.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll do it President's Day. The next one will be Easter.
What? Do they have Easter? I know they have discounts, but I don't know if they do like when their percentage off your total purchase.
They may end up waiting until Memorial Day.
Yeah, I'm thinking Memorial.
And then after that will be 4th of July. Yeah. Either way, they're doing it this weekend. So I'm going to make in fact, I already have made a list. It's over on my crafting cabinet of all the things I have to pick up that I've run out of. So yay! Yay for spending money. But I'm going to use the things I'm spending money on, so I hate spending
money.
Which is very
important.
Hate spending money.
I know. It's okay. It's part of being adult and growing up and having a hobby. And she's cranky and she cries now.
Being an adult, just saying. At any rate, why don't we move on to our next segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe you have a review of the convention I did not go to.
The convention you did not go to, that I only went to for one day.
The floor is yours, ma'am.
So let's see, as of when this episode airs, it'll have been 2 weeks ago, but as we were recording this, it was last weekend. I went to the Dallas Comic-Con Sci-Fi Expo, which is just a two-day, Saturday-Sunday weekend at the Irving Convention Center, which is like the Comic-Con home for Dallas now. They do all their events there. For those who don't know, the Dallas Comic-Con hosts three events throughout the year. They have their main Comic-Con thing, which is a three-day weekend of all the funness and stuff. They have the Sci-Fi Expo, which is strictly mostly focused on the sci-fi entertainment. And then they have one called Fan Days, which is mostly focused on like voice actors. You get video game people, so you get more of the really nerdy, super nerdy stuff. Not so much as like, you know, sci-fi only or here's Star Trek only. So it was kind of fun to run around and be more of like the sci-fi nerd and get to dress up in my Star Wars stuff. And I got to premiere my Asajj Ventress costume, which I'm so proud of. All 6 yards of fabric and leather. One of the cool things about this is that it's starting to become more known for a lot of costumers to kind of show up and start showing off their stuff. So this year they decided to have what they call a cosplay red carpet. So it's kind of taking something like you see like in the Academy Awards or the Grammys, but it's just specifically for cosplayers. They can strut their stuff and people can take their pictures and all that coolness. And that was really kind of cool and kind of fun. It was a nice way for people to showcase all of their hard work without having to jump around and be on stage if they got stage fright, or even if they didn't want to walk the red carpet, they could pull a photographer inside and say, hey, can I have my picture taken? And people were more than happy to oblige. And it was just really cool. It was a great way for people to really just show off their stuff. And really, just in general, it's a nice, fun con. It's relaxing. It's not like Comic-Con San Diego status where it's like, here's 150,000 people. No, no, no. This is like maybe 2,000 total for the weekend. But the guest stars alone are like worth the draw, because, I mean, you had like Christopher Lloyd was there from, if you know, Back to the Future series, where I talked to him about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because that was my best movie, my favorite movie as a kid. But then you had some of the cast of the first Tron movie there. You had some people who were from the Star Trek series there. So it really, it's just about being a giant nerd and loving sci-fi and just having fun and hanging out with people. So that's my convention review. I am a big fan of the Dallas Comic Con scene, and I've only recently been attending their convention. So for me, it's still pretty new, pretty young. But just the friendly atmosphere and the nature of everyone there, that's just what makes it so enjoyable. It's like the new anime fest for me.
That works.
The new anime fest. I like that.
Speaking of sci-fi cosplay, I'm going to see if this is still on our Twitter feed where I stuck it a while ago.
Oh, cool.
But
yeah, I was totally on TV, too. I totally got on TV with my costume. I don't have any video of it because it was a 30-second spot at the 10 p.m. newscast on WFAA. But I was on TV. It's cool.
Okay. It's still going. So okay. I will mention this since it was also mentioned on our Twitter feed. William Shatner is holding something called the Texas Lottery Cosplay Contest.
Mm-hmm.
This is open to fans worldwide, so not in the U.S. This is 30th, 2013, so there's obviously time. There's about 6 weeks. And is to have people in Star Trek cosplay. You have to be a character, not necessarily an original character from the series, but you have to be a Star Trek character in cosplay, and everyone is to show up at the Dallas Convention Series at 10 a.m. on March 30th of this year, and he's trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records record for the largest gathering of Star Trek cosplayers, basically in one place. He's saying that since not everyone can attend, obviously, at the Dallas Convention Center, to enter, you have to take a photo of yourself dressed as a Star Trek character. In the photo, you have to have a sign that has your character identification, for example, Vulcan Ambassador, Starfleet Ensign, Cardassian, etc. And the URL where you can be found. So, you know, your Twitter address, or your Google Plus address, or your DeviantArt address, or your own website. You have to be holding the sign with the identification in your photo. And you also have to be a fan of William Shatner on Facebook, so you have to like him, and you have to follow him on his Twitter account, And you have to circle him on Google+. You have to do all three. So Twitter, Facebook, Google+. And then you email your photo to, you know, this given address, which he has listed his Twitter, his Google, and his Facebook, that he wants these photos sent to. And the address is only supposed to be used for photo submissions, so don't spam him with fan mail. And he and his staff will choose winners of this cosplay contest. And you get extra credit if you can somehow get props and scenery in the photo from Star Trek. So he'll give you bonus points for originality and setup of the photo.
Nice.
You can only submit one photo, so you only get one shot. And you have to choose which media that you're going to enter through. So you can choose Twitter, Google+, or Facebook. You can only enter in one of them. And the winner from each social media, so he'll choose one from each, wins a personalized photo of Shatner as Captain Kirk. And you get an autographed one-sheet post of his documentary, The Captains.
Cool.
So entries are due by March 29th, 2013, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. And then he'll contact the winners in early April. So if you are a Star Trek fan and you are a cosplayer, then you may consider entering this contest because it sounds pretty cool. It's very geeky.
Very geeky. And for those who don't know, the last thing that they announced at Sci-Fi Con was Shatner is actually going to be at Comic-Con this year. That's going to be great. It's going to be really expensive to get his autograph, but I don't care because I want it.
Well, you know they had to bring him because they had Stewart last year.
Yeah, and I have ups and downs with Stewart, so I want Shatner to make me happy.
Well, they're eventually going to have all the captains.
Yeah, they had Avery Brooks there this past weekend, so, you know, if we can get Janeway to come in, I will be dancing on Cloud Nine. I love Captain Janeway.
Cloud Nine. Ha ha.
I'm so funny. I was intentionally trying to do that.
I know you weren't. That's what made it so much more funny.
I know, it's what made it great. Oh, goodness.
At any rate, other... The other contest that is currently going right now, we are sponsoring on iTunes. And that is, simply put, we would like you to rate and review our podcast. And yes, I know it takes a little bit of time, but in return for your efforts, you will be entered into a raffle for one of two soundtracks, and that is the special Fushigi Yugi or Tales of Destiny. And I will ship those to you for free. So, you know, you have... nothing to lose except for a couple minutes of time and everything to win in the form of a soundtrack. Plus, it helps us out because we get more views that way. We will show up higher on iTunes and more people will see us. So that's kind of the end result that we're going for. So that runs until the end of this month. That will close at midnight on February 28th. So get your entries in. And yes, I will know who you are when you do your review. It doesn't have to be a good review, but we would prefer it to be.
Constructive criticism.
Yes. Ideally constructive criticism, which is we need to show up higher end. What? I kind of like the notion of having a cosplay empire.
Yay!
Then we can reach more people with our propaganda in the form of cosplay tutorials.
And our
cos philosophy. But anyways.
Silly.
Do you have anything else to add, ma'am? Because I believe that is all I have for this episode.
Other than I'm sorry for starting so late on recording. I feel bad for our two listeners who have been so nice and so patient and have been sitting with us for the last 2 hours. Holy crap, ladies.
Well, the two that are in our chat room, there will be more listeners when this comes out next weekend.
So. Yes, the ones that are in our chat room, Danny and Mary, thank you so much for sticking with us for the last 2 hours. That was very cool and sweet of you guys.
Oh, yes. Before we say goodbye, shout out to those who have been liking us on Facebook.
Yay!
We have gotten a massive flood of people, and I know this because I get emailed every time somebody does this.
Sorry.
No, it's a good thing. It's a good kind of flood of email. But for all of those who have been liking us on Facebook, thank you very much for doing so. Please also head over to iTunes and do the same thing. But a big thank you also to those of us internationally who have just joined us, as we're getting a lot of viewers from around the world that are brand new to CosPod. And I would also like to say welcome and thank you for listening, and we hope you stick with us. So hello to all of our new listeners and watchers here and around the world. So on that note, I will say, see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.